Hey guys, how you doing? Welcome to On the Rocks. I'm your host tonight, I'm Jamie Wilson, and we've been having some rainy days lately, so I hope you guys are staying safe and dry. And the beauty about rainy days is, you know, you get to stay home, especially now during the pandemic. You get to stay home and you get a nuzzle up to a beautiful bottle of bourbon, man. I'd like to thank liquor.ph for my Evan Williams white bottled in bond Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey, man. Here, cheers to you guys. I'm going to take a quick shot. Now, this is an amazing bottle. Here, let me show it to you. Right there. Yeah, Evan Williams. It's pretty good bourbon whiskey, man. And hey, guess what? We've got a 10% discount for you if you use a liquor.ph promo code. The promo code is on the rocks. You can enter the code upon your checkout, and you're going to get a 10% discount on any Evan Williams bottle that you get. And thanks again to the guys from liquor.ph for supplying our liquor tonight, because, hey, it's on the rocks. So we've been having a lot of rainy days lately. So, traffic has been building up, but it's nice. You know, I love the rainy weather. I really love the rainy weather because I love going out when it's cool. You've got a jacket on and you're just enjoying myself. But of course, with all these new COVID protocols, it's really weird because when rain starts hitting your face shield, you start losing, you know, sight of where you're going if you're walking around, right? So these are just the things that we have to adjust to in the new normal. So it's been a crazy week leading up to this show. It's been a crazy week. A lot of things have happened, some good, some bad. And I'm glad to say that I've seen evidence of angels walking around amongst us, and people who are very generous and people who are just so giving of themselves with either their time or sharing their resources or even lending a shoulder to cry on or a hand to hold or words of encouragement. And really, that's something so wonderful that I see happening now. Of course, there's a lot of bad shit happening too, but it's wonderful to see some of the good things happening to, you know, people who need it, people who deserve it, and, you know, good people as well. So let's just keep that cycle of goodness going. And hey, speaking of goodness, speaking of greatness, speaking of generosity, and speaking of kindness, we've got an excellent guest for you tonight. He's a good friend of mine. And he also just so happens to be the lead singer and frontman of The Dawn. He's also an amazing solo artist who has released an album and has been releasing singles of his own work. He's also a fantastic actor, my fellow rocker in the theater world. And he is funnier than you think he would be. Seriously, you know. And he is one of the hardest working guys that I know in the music business. And, you know, he shines wherever he goes and in whatever he does. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you Mr. Jet Bangan. Yeah.
Hey, Denbo.
Hey, Lottie, how you doing? Hey, Jet, how are you doing, man?
What a beautiful intro. I don't think I deserve that.
Oh, you deserve that and more, actually. I've been meaning to write a really good intro for you. And I said, nah, let it flow. Because, you know, everything I said is true. Everything you touch is, you know, is amazing. And you're always amazing to work with. So I'm so glad. Thank you for coming to the show, Jet. And hey,
well, I'm touching this right now for you. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, man. Cheers.
Cheers.
There you all go. Right.
Mm. All yeah. Right.
So, hey, Jet, how's
Jamie, before you do your thing, before you do your thing, sorry to cut you there, my friend, but before you do your thing, I just want to show you something that you might remember.
Uh-oh.
Okay? This is a very important event in our lives that has changed people's lives as well. So, here it is.
Yeah, Rock of Ages, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. See our gorgeous flowing hair over there.
You know, that's
and cool. I have one more. More serious note, or a more serious booklet, that is. This one, my friend.
Oh, we were both here too. Yeah. That was our first production together in theater.
2012, I think.
2012. That was right before we did Rock of Ages.
Exactly. So, yeah. We've had our stage time. So, yun lang.
So yeah, you know, in case you guys didn't know, and I don't know if it's impossible for you not to know that Jet's not only a fantastic singer. I mean, this guy can sing the phone book and make it sound fantastic, but he's also an amazing and critically acclaimed and award-winning actor, you know? Well, we're going to be talking about
I don't
that.
Know if it's for this show, but yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, that show was purely fun. Rock of Ages was just—it was so much fun. It should have been made illegal.
Oh, exactly.
You know.
Right.
So, how's the pandemic treating you, Jet? How's it been for you?
Well, you know, it could be worse. It could be worse, really. But I always tell friends and people who ask, and thanks for asking, by the way. It's a big blessing that when the lockdown hit, the entire family, my family, we're all under one roof. So we're all here at home. And that for me is a big, big thing because, you know, it. For one thing, it keeps me sane to know that we're all home and we're all safe. Yeah. Because I have friends, when the lockdown hit, they were by themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like tough, Francis man. Reyes, you know, our guitar player in the Dawn.
Yeah.
He lives alone, right? In Quezon City. So amazed lang ako sa kanya how he's able to handle it, you know, in those times when the quarantine was at its most extreme and he couldn't go out. He had no work for that time period. So nag-iisa lang siya sa bahay. And so yeah, when I think of things like that, I count my blessings. And I hope you're fine too, my friend.
Yeah, doing well, everything. You know, doing well. You know, I'm keeping on, you know, as best as we can. I'm also very lucky that, you know, when the lockdown hit, I was with my wife and we were together because I can't imagine going through this pandemic alone. I would have gone nuts.
Oh, diba? So, yeah. Props to Goldie.
Yeah. That's my girl. She's kept me sane.
And she's been lifting weights, I see.
You know, yeah. She's been lifting me.
She's been lifting you, I think, yes.
So that's awesome. Tonight, okay, I'd like to talk to you about some of your music, some of the, you know, just basically things that that have caught my interest. And, you know, as with every guest, I go into a deep dive of their music. And it's actually quite interesting to see. And I want to hear from you, is like the difference between the Dawn and doing your solo work, like the songwriting process. How do you decide if something is just for you, or how do you decide if something is for the Dawn? And listening to your most recent album, I'd like to talk about the Dawn first for a while. Of course, we all have our own Dawn cuentos. I'd like to make you a short cuento on my Enveloped Ideas experience when it first came out. I actually had to make tacas from the house, climb through the barbed wire, and, you know, drop down to the street, catch a cab to catch you guys in the Metropolitan Theater Ballroom. I don't know if you remember that gig. That was a long time ago.
You were a bad kid.
And, well, you know, I had to see you guys live because, you know, having you guys on my tape deck, on my cassette player was not enough. So when I found out you had a gig there, and this was in the age before social media, you know, I think a friend had called me up on the landline and said, Jamie, malapit ka na sa Met. Because I used to live in Malate back then. Sabi niya, you know, tutugtog yung the Dawn. And immediately, you know, I made up everything, like, you know, I put pillows on my bed just in case my dad checked on me and naka-cover with the blanket, climbed out. I had a blast. And then I realized, when I finally got home, I realized, how am I going to get back in? I only thought of the getting out. And I didn't think about how I was going to get back in. So I had to scale. I know, lack of foresight there, diba? So I had to climb the walls, and I ended up getting back into my bedroom. I had to make basag the window because it had latched behind me. And I had so many cuts and bruises, which made me think that, yeah, man, that's rock and roll.
No, sneaking, I think you just fell the wrong way, my friend.
It was worth it sneaking out. Yeah, I had cuts in my arms, I had a cut in my face. I had to climb through barbed wires to get back home, but I was never caught. That's the best part. I had a great experience at the concert. And after that, I modified my takas plans na. Because think about how you're going to get back home. That's important. You know?
I really hope the show was worth it for you, man, after all you've been through. Wow.
Oh, it was a blast. I mean, I remember I was in my combat boots with my ripped up jeans and a cut off Billy Idol t-shirt standing there. And I could only afford one beer. So I had a beer lung there and I was nursing it the whole night. And I was like, it was so much fun, Jet. And those were the days.
Those were the days, man, when, you know, everybody didn't really have a lot of money to spend on concerts. So, you know, you make do with what you have. So, maraming ganyang kwento. Nag-iipon sila for their ticket and nothing else, you know. Barely enough money for commuting to and from the gig. Isang drink lang ang kayang bilhin. So, yun, patatagalin nila yun hanggang... I don't know how you guys did it because back then the Dawn played long, long sets, you know, like 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you nursed one beer throughout that. But yeah, man.
Cheers. The same thing. Well, what we do is what we would preload. We would preload before your gigs. Like when I made Takas again to go to Ultra Storm. So sa Ultra Storm, wise na, nagpabili na ako sa yaya namin ng The Bar. The Bar, man. Because it's ready made. I could sneak it in my bag.
Tapos ang 80s nun, brother.
And do kami sa labas
sa
party.
More 80s than that. And hairspray.
The Bar. But, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was using a lot of hairspray, too. Back in the day.
The ozone suffered during the 80s, man. I tell you that.
We are all guilty of that. So, okay. So, listening. So, I've followed all your albums. But I want to focus on your most recent album of the Dawn, Ascendant. And I was actually surprised when I first heard it. And now going over it and over it, it's a pretty heavy album, huh? Sound-wise. And it's quite the songwriting, I feel, is a little bit more theatrical. And was that a conscious choice in making it a heavier album?
Great question, Jamie. When we made that album, independent na kami. We didn't have a label. In fact, the previous albums were released independently. So wala kaming label. So everything was up to us. We spent on everything. So we basically had full control. And so I sat the guys down when we were thinking up of content for Ascendant. And I simply said, you know, there's no record label breathing down our necks. We are in full control. We are using our money to fund this album. So why not just make an album that all five of us will enjoy first? Now, that's not to say that, you know, we don't care what the fans think or what the fans would like to hear.
Yeah.
But I believe if you've been a band for 30 plus years, you already have an idea in the back of your mind. That if you come up with something that, say, I like, or Junboy likes, or everybody likes, the audience, 90%, I would say, will also enjoy it. So, to cut a long story short, parang sinabi namin, you know, to hell with what we think radio will play or not, or, you know, or what's going to be a hit or not, because we don't know.
We can't know,
you know, especially it came at the time, that was 2018, 2019, I know. The internet age is already, you know, in full swing as far as music is concerned. Nobody was buying CDs anymore. Vinyl is just a collector thing, right? So everybody's online. So you cannot really predict what a hit is going to be more than ever. So kami, parang, let's not pretend what we know, that we know that this is going to be a hit or that song's going to be a hit. Let's just make an album that we will be proud of and we ourselves will enjoy listening to.
Yeah.
So, and that's, in a nutshell.
And that's how Ascendant came about. Now, my favorite song, you know, you've got a lot of awesome songs in this, but I think Night Tracer, for me, is my favorite. Kingdom of Solitude. Yeah. How did that song come about? That's what I mean by about the theatrical. It's very theatrical. But it's heavy as shit, man. So
well,
how did that come about?
Okay, the funny thing is, that song, the music, was written entirely by Francis Reyes. And, excuse me, And we know Francis to be, as a songwriter, as an artist, he's the most left field of all of us. With the exception of songs like, say, Salim Pusa, you know, which became a hit in the 90s.
Yeah,
which he wrote. Pag si Kiko ang gumawa ng kanta, you can expect it to be, you know, it won't be commercial in the sense that we know what commercial is. So he did the music for Night Racer, and it was really wow, you know. It's not four fourths, it's not anything, it's just a stream of consciousness sort of. And exacto, I had lyrics for it.
Wow.
So it wasn't exactly a perfect fit. We had to tweak things here and there. And there you have it.
Fantastic. You know,
it became Kingdom of Solitude. And we're like, okay, maybe we should give it another title. Kesa Kingdom of Solitude. Call it something cooler. Ergo, naging Night Racer siya.
Tapos may parenthesis na lang, King of Solitude.
Yeah, so parang B-movie, di ba? Parang gano'n.
It's fantastic. But I mean, the whole album is a lot heavier than I expected. And it's, you know, but it's still, what I love about it is that we see the evolution from if you listen to, you know, Enveloped Ideas on down the line. It's funny because a lot of artists who have been around for like 30 years, like you said, they tend to get lighter or mellower as time goes on, and you guys actually got heavier.
I think to explain it even simpler, Jamie, I think Ascendant was the album that we always wanted to do.
Wow.
You know, post Teddy Diaz, that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was where No Holds Barred, you know, again, you know, not tied down to anything. Just, you know, just come up with it. Just, you know, let it flow. Ganun lang. So, kung maingay siya.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had quiet
moments. 7-8 siya or something like that, yeah.
You had quiet moments in the album. You had quiet moments in the album, but it was like punctuated. I mean, I guess the quiet moments were more apparent because of the heaviness around it. And I really, really appreciate that.
That's when we realized, okay, let's set the dynamic for this entire roster, no, of songs. Di naman pwedeng lahat, it's all distorted guitar in your face.
Yeah.
Let's provide a little story sonically. No. So it's an exercise really in restraint and excess. Like Sigurista is really loud. Yeah, put all the guitars you want in there, man, you know. Put 10 guitars there for all I care. But then there are songs where, okay, this can be really quiet.
Yeah.
A fault, you know. So it happens within songs. It happens within the whole playlist of the album. So, yeah.
And that's fantastic. I think like the counterpoint between the quiet parts and the heavy parts really complemented each other. And gave it a dynamic if you listen through. Because, I mean, like in the digital age now, we listen to one song that we like or two songs that we like. And listening to the entire album really gives you a sense of the care and the thought behind it. Because even the sequencing is fantastic. Because just when you're getting really heavy, you drop it down. There's a nice quiet moment and then you build it up again. So listening to the album as in its entirety, I think is how we should listen to music. You know, not just singles.
And I think it's how a band works, really. It's not me and the four other guys.
Yeah.
That's really the five of us.
Yeah.
So you were mentioning the difference between, you know, the Dawn and my solo stuff, right? So that's basically it. It's the work of five people, you know, whose hands are on the same steering wheel trying to steer the thing, you know, to a certain direction. So
in contrast to that, when you did Spell in 2002, it was your hand on the steering wheel. And your choices were funny. I love that that funny bluesy track that you made. It was hilarious. Your tongue-in-cheek blues track. But my favorite song from that is Ngayong Gabi. That's a Yeah, that's an awesome kick-ass song. How did that come about?
That's something you would like, Jamie. Yeah, I know. Because it has that Sabbath thing going.
Yeah, yeah.
And yon, Spell was actually 1996 or 97.
96?
If I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Yeah, 1996,
97. We've got to change the Spotify like dates, man.
I know. But yeah, ngayong gabi, pretty much has that Sabbath influence, pero love song siya.
Oo nga. Ang ganda ng counterpoint, mabigat siya, Black Sabbath, pero love song. And that's the love song that I would respond to because it's heavy guts, you know?
Well, yeah, arrangement-wise, bagay siya rin sa kwento ng lyrics eh. It's basically a couple fighting.
Yeah.
And the guy, or me, was hoping that, you know, the fight won't last through the night. Parang ganon. Parang don't let the sun set on a fight or yes. on a disagreement. Parang ganon.
Yeah.
So I just thought that the arrangement would reflect the turmoil of the relationship. Where in the end, the guy still loves the girl. No? Kahit magunaw man ang mundo ngayong gabi, I'll be there for you. Parang ganun.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's beautiful. Yeah. And then you go into, I mean, from ngayong gabi, your last two singles are also extremely different from each other. And I think that might reflect the time or, you know, your state of mind. But let's talk about Lipad.
Oh yeah.
How did Lipad come about?
Okay, that one was I have to say that's a little bit more deliberate. Because the intention for that song really was to get it as far as being the theme song of a movie or a teleserie. So it sounds cinematic. And true enough, no, nagamit siya sa Korean novela.
Yeah,
of ABS-CBN. Which was called the Codename Terrius.
Mm-hmm.
So I have Star Music to thank for that because they released that single for me. And but still, it's not a parang, you know, cookie cutter kind of pop song. A lot of thought was put into that, in the sense na it should still be heartfelt when you hear it. You know, and as the title implies, it should still give you an uplifting, you know, feel.
Yeah.
When you listen to it, yeah.
But when you say,
was able to achieve, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love that song. But when you say it was deliberate, it was not written specifically for any specific project. You were just thinking, oh, this could be a theme song.
Yeah.
And then it got picked up. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome.
Because, again, you know, that was one way for me to sort of guarantee that the song is going to be getting the most airplay, the most exposure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So going from Lipad and the deliberate idea of having it as a theme song, we go now to Belong. And Belong it's pretty heavy also, pal. I mean, you guys are you're getting heavier as you go along, man. And that's, you know, did you wrote that with Kettle?
No, I wrote the song. Kettle arranged it.
He arranged it.
So I you know, pag ako nagko-compose, pare, ano lang ako, gitara lang and boses, you know, clang, clang, okay. Clang, clang. Just as long as I have the chords down, I give it to Kettle. Yan, dude, rock it out. So that's basically what happened. Oh.
Belong is a fantastic anthem. I mean, it's such a... That was one of the songs that made it on my Proof of Life playlist when it was released.
Thank you. Yeah.
Because seriously, like going through the pandemic, we were all, you know, unsure of the world. And the one thing really that kept me alive is music. And, you know, Belong was one of the songs as soon as it came out. Yeah. As soon as it came out, I'm like, this has to be in my permanent playlist, you know, and it's a fantastic song. When you write your songs at home, for example, and you're making clang, clang, lang on the guitar and all that, how do you send it out? What's your setup like?
Oh, you mean my technical setup for
recording? Yeah, I mean, is it you just send it over by a phone, or you know, or do you have a better setup at home? Because now everybody has their studios. You know what I mean?
Well, what you see now is what you get. It's this laptop, this nice mic, courtesy of Rode Philippines. Thank you. These headphones, and that's it. When I write songs with someone, when I collaborate with someone, so if for instance, with Ketel, it was just my phone, man. Ni-record ko lang sa telepono. And then, yun, sinend ko na sa kanya. He has the studio, so
he has a nice studio. He's been inviting me to come out
and come up with a nice demo. But see, Belong was created before COVID, so we were able to record it in a proper recording studio, sa BF, yeah. So
nice.
And it was properly recorded. Yeah,
that's why when we saw the footage on the video, I'm like, what are they doing? Because I didn't realize it was written and recorded before the pandemic. So I thought you guys were going out during the pandemic to record. And I was like, pwede na pala. Pwede na pala. And then yung pala hindi.
Yeah, but if you see the video, kahit pa paano, may social distancing na rin kami nun. Because I think there was already news that, you know, there's this certain virus permeating somewhere and might, you know, infect the world soon. So... yeah, but that was before COVID, yeah.
Have you ever wanted to make a podcast but just couldn't get your shit together? Well, guys, look no further because there's this great app called Anchor. It's the easiest way to make a podcast on your computer or straight from your phone. All the creation tools you need in one place, plus an idiot-proof interface, makes it a one-stop shop. It's never been easier to create, publish, and distribute whatever your dirty minds want to say. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm and get started. Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Smooth like butter, baby.
Before the lockdown happened.
Before the lockdown, yeah.
And that's fantastic. I mean, like, that's one thing beautiful about, you know, like, these trying times that we live in. We're living under a pandemic, the lockdown. There's a lot of uncertainty. And music really, me personally, helped me get through it. And it's so nice. It was actually so nice to have the time to spend listening to this music, because usually we're so busy that, yeah, you know, music becomes background. But then I started sitting down and actually having listening sessions for my sanity. And, you know, Belong really got me through, pare, let me tell you. And that's something I will always be thankful for. Oh,
hey, there's flash on the screen.
We have a question from Mags. How do you make such smart and catchy lyrics without making it too cheesy?
Wow. Oh, wow. What a great question. Hindi ko alam. Or maybe I do. Maybe I do. That's a great question. Mags, right? That's a great question. Early on in the dawn palang, when we were writing words for our songs, I had this sort of personal exercise in writing lyrics. Back in the day, Jamie and Max, that was the 80s. I was avoiding words like I love you. I was avoiding words like love or pag-ibig. With the exception of Love Will Set Us Free. Which is an entirely different message in itself. Iniwasan ko yung mga words na yun. Not because I didn't like those words, but it's because they're overused. So parang challenge ko yung sarili ko, how can I say something that means I love you without saying I love you?
Mm.
So that sort of became my habit when I write words. Not exactly about love, but how can I say this in another way? So is it metaphor? Maybe. Maybe not. So, yeah, it's just an exercise. Na instead of saying it literally, which works, by the way, also. I mean, I'm not going to stop anybody from writing songs in a literal manner, diba? But I guess it just became my habit through the years, whether it be Tagalog or English, to say it in another way that you won't get sick of listening to. You know, as time went on, you know.
All right. Thank you, Max, for that question. That's a great question.
Yeah, great question. I was like, I was stuck there for a while.
My question's coming up.
That question was too smart for me. So,
So, wait, there's another question. Cheers to that, guys. Cheers to that question. It's a great question. So, that's a great songwriting exercise right there. How do you say I love you without saying the actual words I love you? And that goes for all the messages for your song. So in case, the messages, I want to give you hope. How do you give them hope without actually saying, I give you hope? You know? Finding ways to write it differently. There's another great question here from J.R. Jansen. And that's going to lead into our next topic. How do you divide your time and your talent from being a singer and an actor? And we're going to be talking about Jet as an actor. Because, you know, I've been talking to some of Jet's road managers and roadies, you know, getting cuentos for research and all that, and asking them if, if you're different, if you're doing theater or if you're with a Don or with your, at gigs, with your solo gigs. But how do you divide your time and your talent? That's two mindsets right there.
First, the time. I'm just lucky that I have bandmates who are very supportive and understanding of what I want to do outside of the Don. So I guess that's a secret to our longevity because we allow ourselves to do other stuff. So as long as it doesn't affect the Don's, timetable too much, it's really time management, you know. I would tell them in advance, may project ako dito for this serie or this movie or this musical or whatever. And so the Don in advance could, prepare for it and work on a timetable with that in mind. So, but physically, it can get taxing, of course. As Jamie knows, many times I've done a run of a musical, then I had to literally run to a gig, not only literally, but you know what I mean. Literally run to my car. That's happened, but I was younger then. So I don't know now. I wouldn't know now because pandemic, so all of that's put on hold, right? Pretty much. But
when you say now, that's relative because just last year when you were doing Sweeney Todd, you had to do the same thing after an evening show of Sweeney Todd, which is like it's been called a theatrical role made for an Olympic level athlete. You've had to actually run to gigs right after, do your gig, and then come back in and do a matinee and an evening show. And how does one do that?
There's a certain level of insanity that is required. I wouldn't suggest it to anyone, but. But see, that was the life I chose. Those were the decisions I made. And if I could make them work alongside each other, why not? But no, I'm no Superman. I mean, there are gigs that I've turned down because I'd be like, no way, man.
I can't. I won't be able to make it right.
Stretcher to the ER, then maybe I do that. But yeah, I pick my battles din naman. And I guess when you're passionate about something or both things, like singing and acting, the adrenaline just kicks in, and your body just follows.
So in terms
of
acting,
you hurt when you wake up the next day.
That's why you always need Biogesic.
Yes, of course. Yes, it's part of my arsenal. Arsenal!
Arsenal! Oh, let's go into your theater roles right now, Arsenal. Arsenal from Rock of Ages. That's the name of the band, in Rock of Ages. So you've done a lot of theater roles, but I want to just focus on one film role because during the pandemic, I started taking a film class with Mike Sandejas. And one of the films that we had to study and dissect as a filmmaker, as a director, and as well as an actor was Tulad ng Dati. And that was a fantastic film. And I was just wondering how did it feel playing yourself? Because you're accustomed to, I mean, thinking about it now, you play roles, you become other people, so there's a delineation of the role and you. But you were playing yourself, Jet. So how did that feel?
Ang maganda nun sa tulad ng dati, it's so strange in the sense that I was tasked to play myself. You know, as Jet, member of the Dawn. Pero in an alternate universe. I've had people, so many people, come up to me, especially after the film. Sir Jet, kawawa ka naman, nagka-amnesia ka pala. Nakalimutan mo lahat. You know, and I had to keep explaining, guys, hindi totoo yun. And they'd be like, okay, so ano yung totoo dun? Totoo na, you know, Teddy was murdered, you know, and totoo that we had some falling out here and there. But there are some things that were just born out of the mind of Mike Sandejas.
Mm.
Like that fight scene between me and Francis or between me and Junboy. You know, sisigawan kami, nagmumurahan. That never happened in real life.
Mm.
Never. It never came to that point where Kiko would kick the chair I was sitting on so I'd fall and, you know, because, you know, Francis, he wouldn't harm a fly, man.
I know. That's why when I watch it again with a critical eye, it was that particular scene was quite surprising. You know, now that I know Francis, I know Junboy, you're like, oh my God, man, what if this really happened?
It's like someone came to you and said, Jamie, I want you to star in a movie starring you about your life, but I'm going to tweak things a little bit. So you still play yourself, but Jamie, okay, you're a theater actor, but you joined the CIA.
Wow.
Parang ganun. So, you know, something like that. And, and, you know, it never happened in real life. In your life, but you're still playing yourself with fragments of your own reality mixed in with the fictional. So it was strange in that sense, which was also a challenge because I had to play me in an alternate universe, sort of.
So you had to make decisions based on what would Jet in real life do versus what would Jet in the alternate universe do.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, kung nagka-amnesia talaga ako, how would I deal with it?
Yeah.
You know, and it was selective amnesia pa nga in the movie, di ba? I just remember the 80s.
Yeah.
And I don't remember anything else. So, yeah. If that were true today, I mean, I'd still have hair up to there and I'd still have, you know, eyeliner talking to you right now.
We'd still be wearing acid wash jeans and, you know.
Acid, okay, maybe not that, but yeah, okay. Everything else, yeah.
Yeah, but I remember you were so happy. We're going to go back into another role, and that was the most, I think it was the most fun production we ever did. I don't know what possessed Atlantis and Chari, Chaga and Bobby Garcia to actually cast all the crazy people in one show, and that show is called Rock of Ages.
You were all crazy. I was the most disciplined there, man. I had to keep all of you in check.
Oh,
you're welcome. You're welcome. Yes.
I remember when the costume fitting came around, because in the process, you know, we have a rehearsal process, and we're learning the music, we're learning the choreography.
Okay.
And when the costumes came about, I remember Jet was not happy with his pants because he said, pare, being from the 80s, dapat naka-acid wash ako. And our poor costume designer, Twinkle, had to search for acid wash jeans, which would be perfect for his role. His role was Lonnie. And when I remember those jeans came about and you finally put it on, he's like, yes, I have arrived. So, yeah, acid wash.
That was a proud moment because the costume designer listened actually to me.
Right?
I don't know how Chari felt about it, but, you know.
I think our director Cherry was just picking her battles because she had to manage an entire cast of crazy people. So if it makes Jet comfortable being acid wash jeans, just please give him the acid wash jeans. We have bigger.
I was actually, you know, what do you call this? I was volunteering to Cherry. Cherry, you want me to take care of these guys?
And I think didn't that get an
answer. She just stared at me. So anyway, yeah.
Of course, she just stared at you. She was wondering, are you crazy?
She was probably so, you know, she was so overwhelmed with, I don't know what.
So we have another question here because, yeah. Okay, so this is a little background on the show. If you haven't seen, if you didn't see the show, I knew this was going to come up, man. And she threatened me that she was going to ask this. My character is the bar owner, and his name was Dennis Dupree. And my go-to guy, played by Jet, his name is Lonnie. And we've been together, you know, running these bars and in the music scene for years. And there's a scene in Act Two, which I still so vividly remember in our preview and on opening night. When, right. I mean, you see me, I'm a macho guy, Jet's a macho guy. And all of a sudden, when the bar is being shut down in the play, we have a quiet moment where we get all emotional because we're saying goodbye to our home. And then all of a sudden, the intro to I Can't Stop This Feeling by REO Speedwagon starts happening. And when the audience realizes that we are both professing our love to each other as our characters on stage, I remember the first night we had an audience, I couldn't hear the band because people were screaming, "No! Oh my God!" They were all freaking out. And that scene ends with a kiss hidden by a fog machine. All right? Hidden by a fog machine. But there were shows that fog machine wouldn't work. So me and Jet...
Oh, yeah, man. Shit, I know. Oh.
And you could see the panic on Jet's face. There's no fog machine. There's no fog machine. What are we going to do? So when we were rehearsing it, Jet, how was that experience for you? Because I have my own takeaway from the experience, but I want to hear this experience from you.
It built character. I mean, you know, just when I thought I've done everything possible, I had to kiss Jamie Wilson. You know? Not once, mind you. How many runs did we do? Three?
Yeah, we did three runs.
Yeah.
And there seemed to be one show in each run where that fog machine didn't work. So we were also investigating.
More than once, I think. Yeah.
And they're on here. They're on the feed right now. I see Bernice commenting. Ace is here. How you doing, Bernice? Happy birthday. It's your
birthday. Happy birthday, Bernice. Hi, Happy Ace.
She says, Jet is not a macho guy in that show. What with the mullet? He was so with the cut-off t-shirt, he was so macho, man.
You know, my machismo there, Bernice, just came out naturally, you know. So try as you might to deny it. Everybody, you know. I was reeking of macho-ness. So anyway. Yeah, going back to that scene, yeah, it's unforgettable, of course. Especially when the fog machine didn't work, I'd be like, oh, okay, what do we do now? So I really got to kiss this guy. So
here we go.
Yeah.
And we were just praying that the lights would go down in time because.
Which I never did. So we had to. Yeah. So that had to happen a little bit longer than we wanted.
But that was such
tapos
a crazy
idea. Shave. Grabe ka.
I had a beard and all that. And you would complain, na parang, I'm getting beard burn.
For F's sake, shave, man.
I couldn't shave. That was my look, you know. I think that's got to be the most fun production. Because not only, I mean, if you're not familiar with Rock of Ages, it's all the iconic glam rock. I mean, we had like songs from Warrant, Bon Jovi, Journey, And it was funny because working with theater people who were not familiar with these songs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Diba? We, you know, it was me and Jet who were like the authorities at rehearsals. Diba? Like, that song was like, that song's by Bon Jovi, ganyan, ganyan, ganyan.
And you, me, and Mig.
Mig was in his own little world because he was so Stacey Jacks. He was just, you know, in that role. But at the same time, he was also, you know, super down home and actually pretty funny. We got into so many shenanigans, and our stage managers here and our production managers here on the thread, on the comments, I'm sure can tell, you know, stories. Oh, see, Bernice is saying, I will never forget Jet asking Chari if he can have a mustache. Kasi I think he was bothered because I had the bigote. So he wanted to, like,
you know, it was the 80s, right? Everybody had that handlebar mustache. And it's not my fault that you, Bernice, and Chari didn't know how the 80s glam rock scene was all about. Hmm. So, see, yun yung bigote ni Jamie ngayon. Ganun yung 80s.
Correct.
But of course, he's not sporting a mullet. So, you know, so I think Chari was very thankful that I gave that suggestion. So, yeah. You're welcome, guys. Really.
Yeah.
Just did my part. Jet's bigote to the show, yeah.
Jet's bigote saved the show, guys. Saved the show. And we went on to do three runs.
I don't want to brag, but yeah, maybe it did. Yeah.
We went on to do three runs of Rock of Ages. All right. And in the last run, in the third run, I was made associate director. And I was wondering why me. And she said, well, basically, Jamie, you're the one that can handle all these, you know, bugoys, as we affectionately call ourselves, the bugoys. There was one particular rehearsal where I felt that we weren't gelling too well together. People were coming in. It was early morning rehearsal, I remember. We would start like 8 or 9 a.m. So it was torture, right? But I remember one particular rehearsal where I called for an over-the-top rehearsal. And Bernice, I'm sure you remember this. We were in Studio M. It was our last day in Studio M before moving into the theater. And I called, as the associate director, I called for an over-the-top rehearsal. And I remember Bernice's face looking at me like, are you serious? You're asking Jet to be even more over-the-top. And that rehearsal was so fantastic because there were songs, there were numbers in the first act that we could not get through because Jet was just doing, you were just doing all sorts of things, man. And, you know, even Nyoy couldn't get his lyrics out.
Guys, you know, in acting school, that was what you'd call edge work.
Nah, no, man.
Anybody who's an actor, you know, watching this right now, you know what that means. Edge work. And that's what I did. So again, you're welcome, guys. I hope you learned a thing or two, especially Calvin Miliado, who was never really paying attention. So yeah.
Yeah, that rehearsal, he had to pay attention because Jet changed everything. Delivery of his lines. I mean, when you're doing your third run, you sort of, what I was fighting against was to fight that you knew what was going to happen next. Because it was our third run, and most of the cast came back for it. So, you know, there were a few new ones who were always on their toes, but the core cast came back. And that was the rehearsal where Calvin just did not know what was, well, he never really knows what's happening, but all the more in that rehearsal. And what I appreciated about what you're doing when you did that, when you went, I mean, over the top to Jet Pangan means like over the top. And like he
edge
said,
work, edge work. Man.
Edge work. I really appreciated that because there was a time where the numbers were falling apart. The scenes were falling apart because we were just all busy giggling and laughing. And there was a time when there was a collective breath from the company. And then we all pulled together. And it was so palpable. And that was because of you, Jet. So, yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And in direct contrast,
if anybody out there wants to do edge work, you can contact Bernice Aspiliaga, my road manager, and I would gladly teach you at your own risk, of course. You'll sign a waiver, but, you know, you'll learn a thing or two. Yeah.
You'll sign a waiver for your sanity.
Yes. And for your overall safety. And but yeah.
And then so that was fun. So we've talked about you playing yourself in an alternate universe. Rock of Ages was just comedic fun and, you know, in our element of the 80s rock. That was a blast. I'd like to talk about Jekyll and Hyde, which came before Rock of Ages, yes. Mm. But Jekyll and Hyde was a different challenge for you because you had to play both roles. You had to play the duality. And how was that how did that help you stretch as an actor? And that was a tough vocal workout too.
Well, you know, I'm crazy in a sense that I totally understood the problem of, you know, switching personalities. I mean, we all get that, right? Especially when there are days when things are going well and then something bad really happens and it just flips a switch, right? And so that's pretty much the take I did on Jekyll and Hyde, only done in a very, you know, switch on and off sort of thing, di ba? Ano nga ba yung tanong mo ulit?
Was it difficult switching between Jekyll and Hyde? Because sometimes our roles stay with us, right?
I have to say mad props to our director, Menchu Lauchenko Yulo. She was a fantastic director, and when it came to me being guided by her for the role, I mean, it was just great. She was able to map out, you know, what we call the arc, diba?
Yeah.
Henry Jekyll.
Henry Jekyll.
Edward Hyde. And so it was not just a cartoonish, you know, nice guy, bad guy, nice guy, bad guy sort of switch. But both characters had their own pain. And, you know, based on Menchu's direction, I was able to find those things. So Dr. Jekyll was a very pained individual, although very non-confrontational. And Edward Hyde was pretty much like the Punisher, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the Punisher, the series, right? Who's all rage, who's all, you know, unadulterated anger. And may pinanggagalingan din yon. So it's basically playing two characters that are very real. You know, and you're not playing some one-dimensional monster hiding inside a person. Those are two people with two real, you know, pains in their lives. You know, so that sort of thing. And syempre, also watching my alternate, see Michael Williams do his thing also as Jekyll and Hyde, I picked up a few things also.
Guys, it's never been easier to make a podcast. All you got to do is look for a great app called Anchor. It's the easiest way to make a podcast on your computer or straight from your phone. All the creation tools you need in one place, plus an idiot-proof interface. Man, you can create, publish, and distribute whatever you want to say. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm and get started. Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Smooth like butter, baby.
That was also the funny experience, because like it's very rare that you have an alternate that you can actually see performances of and then you can pick up. I remember that was such our director Menchu cultivated such a good environment of sharing that if it works for you can share it with Michael. If it works for Michael, he can share it with you. And I think that just made for a better show.
Yeah, but the great thing about Menchu was she knew that she was working with two different actors.
Yeah, with two different processes.
Two different processes, two different ways of looking at the role. And she respected that, you know. And she basically gave us, you know, two different highways to get to the same destination, so to speak.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I remember quite vividly those shows. where it was so weird. We would do matinees and then evenings, and then one of you would, like, as the cast, because the cast was always, the rest of the cast was consistent, right? It was, we were always there in every show. And we would have to look at the schedule. Who is it tonight? Is it Michael or is it Jet? Because you guys were, even if you were playing the same role or roles, right? You guys had different attacks and different habits on stage. So we were always on our toes, because most of the time, Michael, you know, Michael is a trooper. He's a true theater person, and he will hit his mark each time. You had that element of danger, I remember, where we didn't know in some
scenes, I'm going to hit the furniture at some point. Yeah, sorry about
that. What you're going to do? Or fall into the orchestra pit?
You know what I mean? Oh, thank God that didn't happen.
Well, we were all
worried about, man. Yeah,
we were all worried about falling into the orchestra pit because it was right there up against us. But I think that's a great exercise in terms of playing multiple roles and how you divide them. You've made both people, both roles, Jekyll and Hyde, real people. So you weren't playing caricatures. And then
that's
we go into
say, Jamie of Hanoi. I mean, if I may, you know, in my own my own humble opinion, that's the danger of playing the bad guy or playing the monster. There's always the cookie cutter way of doing it, you know. Bad guys, okay lang laging galit, di ba? Bad guys, so laging ajit, di ba? But there are layers to it, I guess. You know, like in real life, di ba? You don't really know a person is bad until he's done something bad.
True.
You know, so parang ganun.
Speaking of bad guys, you went on to do your most recent one, the most recent musical, Sweeney Todd. And I was a technical director for that show, so I would show up in rehearsals. And I remember seeing Jets. I've never seen his face like that for most of the rehearsals, but his eyebrows were like this most of the time. And you know, because it's called an Olympian role, and at the same time, it's the music was by Sondheim. And
oh God, yeah,
yeah. I remember your difficulties in terms of, like, you know, because Sondheim doesn't write straight. Like, he's known for his challenging notes and his timing and everything. How did you wrap your brain around that, Jet?
With great difficulty, Jamie. Now, I have to tell you, there were times I wanted to quit. Really, wow. You know, during the rehearsal process, right in the thick of it, I was already questioning my choices. I was like, did I do the right thing accepting this role? Because it's really just so challenging. It's not a walk in the park with George, pun intended. But Sondheim being Sondheim, it took a while for me to get into the mind of the songwriter or the guy who made the book, which was a struggle for me. Ang hirap. Ang hirap aralin yung music niya, alamin yung music niya, while at the same time, you're trying to stay true to the character of Sweeney Todd, you know, Benjamin Barker, or whatever you want to call him. So you had to make those things work at the same time. It wasn't easy. So whoever has played Sweeney Todd in their lives, hats off to you guys, because I know for, you know, firsthand account, mahirap siya. But once you get it right, oh my God.
Then yeah, when
you're like, okay, kaya pala siya ganun.
And that was occupying a very dark place, because, I mean, Benjamin Barker or Sweeney Todd was a very, very, he was in a very, very dark place. How would you adjust to back to real life after like an 8-hour rehearsal period for like a month and a half? You'd go home, you're doing the shows, you'd go home. How did you shrug him off? Because nobody ever teaches you, people teach you how to get into a role.
A good stick of cigarette, man.
And probably a couple of drinks, right?
So I leave the theater, go to the smoking area. Just one stick. Me and that stick of cigarette. It's like, yeah, you know. But I love Sweeney Todd. I love the musical. I love the character. But I'll probably not do it again. Sorry.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think a great the great experience also of that. I mean, aside from this very, very challenging role that you had, I mean, we had a fantastic cast with us. Wow. You had some amazing people, and most notably, the person that you shared the stage for most of the time with was Lea Salonga. And how was that?
Absolutely,
because she terrifies me.
She terrifies me too, man. I mean, part of my Sweeney Todd angst was probably from being, you know, scared shitless of her. No, but really, Lea was, you know, it's my first time to work with her, you know, full on in a show. I mean, we've done a musical before, Baby, but we never really had stage time together. We were playing two different, characters. I mean, you know, two different worlds in that musical that we never really had a scene together. And then Biglang Sweeney Todd, where, you know, I was her leading man. And all I can say is that she was very generous as an actor. She was very helpful, not just to me, but to the entire cast, without stepping on the toes of the director, of course. She didn't tell you how to do your job, but she'll tell you, you know, if you ask for advice, she will gladly give it. And she just wanted everybody to shine, really.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, it's easy to think na ang isang katulad niya, you know. I mean, she's a global star, right? West End, Broadway, name it. Diba? I mean, she wins awards in her sleep. But it's easy for you to think na, okay, when she does her work, she'll just be after her own. You know, after her own interest.
Her responsibility.
To hell with you, right? Keep up with me, diba? But she wasn't at all like that. She wanted to make sure everybody had their moment to shine, whether you're Sweeney Todd or you're, you know, the ensemble. You know, she wanted everybody to. She understood perfectly the meaning of team effort.
Yes, that's true. It was such a pleasure to have her also, because even as a technical director, and that was a very technically difficult show, as Bernice will attest to, who's on the feed now, because she was our production manager and I was a technical director. And Lea would actually like come up with suggestions. Like we would approach the actors as a technical director. How can we make your life easier? And as well as, you know, safe, because, you know, you were running up and down stairs, you were, you know, in a spinning car, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what I love about Lea and yourself as well, because you always gave suggestions and like, can I have my flask here, nearer here? Can you do this and all that? And most, a lot of actors who don't have that much experience will not know how to address these things. And I'm really thankful that I had you and Lea, especially, to take care of during this, during the technical process of Sweeney Todd, where your suggestions would be very, very helpful. The one who wasn't helpful was Nyoy. Nyoy kept on asking, can I take the scooter home? Because he came in a scooter and he's like, hey, this is so much fun. Can I take it home? I'm like, no, you can't.
But
he kept
Nyoy asking. Was brilliant, man. Galing
I know. Nyoy is amazing. And the moment that Nyoy put on the kilt, wala na. You know, he had to wear a kilt. Would you say that that's
wondering more... what was beneath that kilt? But
I didn't want to ask. He might show me.
If there was something in there at all, but you know, but
so would you say that Sweeney Todd is your most challenging in terms of theater?
Yes, only because of the music of Sondheim. I had really had to deal with that. I had to wrap my head around it. But as far as the character was concerned, it was beautiful. It was beautiful to play.
See, you know, yun ang tanong ni Ace. From doing a major role, what do you find more challenging between, you know, between is it Nine or Sweeney Todd? He answered Sweeney Todd. But Nine, you were on stage all the time.
Okay. Thank you, Ace. I forgot all about Nine. That was a different challenge altogether. Yun, kasi you said so yourself, Jamie. I never left the stage.
Yeah.
Puti na lang merong Act 1 and Act 2. Meron ba? See, even that, I don't remember.
Meron.
That was the only time I could get a pee break, you know, change my shirt, wipe the sweat off my brow, you know. But, yeah, I never left the stage, and David Gallo designed it in a way that's it's all levels.
Yeah, that was an insane set.
Steps, and I kept going up and down them together with my muses, the ladies, you know.
Well, that's the thing, Jet. Jet, you never left the stage in Nine, but you were surrounded by the most beautiful women in Philippine theater.
Oh, yeah, so, including Tita J.
Yeah, so. That had to be a major plus right there, right?
Yeah, but, you know, the thrill of it, being surrounded by beautiful women, would last for only 10 minutes in the show. Because after that, it's like, okay, it's all work all the time, you know. Everybody has to, you know, deliver given the circumstances and the staging and the music also. Yeah.
Oh yeah, another question from the comment section from Pablo Toledo. Any chance of doing a musical based on enveloped ideas or even based on the music of the Dawn? Ooh,
Pablo, we did a musical in 2008. It was called EJ. It was a collaboration between The Dawn and Tanghalang Pilipino of CCP. So it was about the life of Evelio Javier and Edgar Hobson, two prominent figures during the martial law years. And they grafted the music of The Dawn into the musical. So we've done that before. But it was a pretty intense musical. We want to do another musical, probably based on the music of The Dawn. That's a little bit lighter. Hmm. You know, if it could be funnier, then it would be great. Yeah. People have approached us and asking us kung type ba namin gawing musical yung mga kanta ng The Dawn. And we're like, yeah, sure. I mean, we're open to that. If someone else is, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of people. I would love to be there, in any way, shape, or form. I would love to be involved in that. So going from music and juggling music and theater, do the two worlds bleed together?
Music and theater. You know, okay. I think the similarity ends with the fact that they both involve music. I mean, if we're talking musical theater,
yeah,
that's where the similarities end. They're two different animals. I'd say performing in a band and performing in a musical, they're totally different. Because, well, obviously, in a musical, you're playing another person outside of yourself. Whereas in music, that's your words, that's your lyrics, that's your sound. You know, that's basically you on stage, and the discipline couldn't be more different. You know, being in a band gives you the license to be a little bit easier on yourself as a performer, because that's you.
Yeah,
you can perform it however you want to perform it on a given day. Whereas in musical theater, you have to do the same thing as directed, as agreed, day in, day out.
The same way for each performance.
For each performance, yeah. So the level of expectations are, you know, are different.
Are there any tricks that you've used from one world and brought it to another?
Yeah, I always like to say that one enriches the other. When I'm fresh off a musical theater gig, or a musical theater run, and I do a gig for The Dawn or whatever, suddenly I find myself effortlessly more centered.
Mm.
I do less because I don't have to do any more than I should. And excuse me. And sorry. And I learned that all from musical theater. It's the confidence and the exactness of the thing called musical theater that really carries over long after it's done. And unwittingly, I carry that in the gig, you know. It's amazing how musical theater schools you without you even knowing it, you know.
Yeah. The things that we learn there just stick with us in our normal lives. It's funny. Like I've been talking to some of your roadies and some of your road managers and all that, and they all say the same thing about you. How even if you're makulit, na hindi mo naman matatanggal yung pagkakulit mo, you are one of the more professional people in the industry. You show up on time or early. You show up prepared. And no matter what, you always give like 1,000%. Even if you've done a series of gigs or a series of shows, you just came from Sweeney Todd and you go to a gig and you're still giving 1,000%. And I think that is, you know, that's why you're you, I think. Even if, no matter how tired you are, no matter how many gigs that you've had to go through or how many shows, or you're thinking of the shows the next day, that's the one thing that they've all said about you. Because I was digging up stories, you know, about you. And that's one thing that they have to say. You're one of the most professional rock stars that are around. And I think that's fantastic.
I have, you know, I have Atlantis Productions really to thank for that. And I'm not fluffing any egos, or I'm not even exaggerating. My many years in doing musical theater, mostly with Atlantis, taught me the value of being professional. You know, showing up on time. And it's not just showing up on time. When you get to work, you got to know your shit, man. I mean, you know, because it's not only for you, but it's also in respect to the people that work with you.
Yeah.
Kasi kung mali ka, you hassle everybody else that came on time. And if you don't know your parts, you hassle everybody else who do know their parts.
True.
You know, I mean, it's been said before, and I'm sure you know this, Jamie, because you're probably... No, you were practically born on stage, right? It's only as strong as its weakest link. Tama ba yun? Or something like that, you know?
Yeah, you're only as strong as your weakest link, yeah.
Yeah. So don't be the weak link. And it's pretty simple, really. The demands are simple. Just come on time, know your parts, that's it.
Yeah, and then show up and do the work.
Do the work and love it, you know, because there's no point in doing this if you don't.
That is true. And I think that's the biggest takeaway. I think in terms of all this experience, you know, you've been playing music for the past 30 years or more. You also dabble in music. You also go into musical theater and your pursuit, your artistic endeavors. And really, it just shows that your love for this has not waned. And that's the most amazing thing, because how do you keep that love alive? Are there days where you want to chuck it and say, oh, I'm going to become an accountant?
Maybe not an accountant. That's why I hired one. I'm amazed at accountants, Jamie. I mean, you know, naging minor subject yan sa college, diba? I don't know if you had accounting as a minor subject. And I guess just like musical theater, you got to love it, man.
That's true.
I don't think anybody can be an accountant if they didn't love that.
Agreed.
Because it could be the most boring thing. Boring and also frustrating, because you're dealing with all these numbers and then it doesn't tally in the end. Oh my God, then you have to do it all over again. It's like musical theater, di ba?
That's true.
Except you do it wrong, you gotta do it all over again, man. So accounting and musical theater, yeah, you gotta love it. You gotta love it, or don't do it at all. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the best, you know, you gotta love it. All right, so Jet, I'm curious now. So we're going to go into the series of questions that we have now, but then I want to ask you, what music do you listen to at home? What's your wake-up song? Do you have a playlist? Do you have a wake-up song that you have?
Well, right now, I'm really into Van Halen because, you know.
Oh, Eddie. Yes.
Sir Eddie. You
know, cheers to that. Cheers.
Cheers in heaven. So, yeah, I'd wake up playing Panama.
Oh, I love that song. And, actually, that whole album. You know, 1984.
When I'm winding down, I'd listen to Finish What You Started.
Mm.
Also Van Halen, yeah. But I listen to a lot of stuff in between. Yeah.
And that's your current, like, what's your, do you have a go-to, like, you know, if you go on a road trip, when you get into your car, what would be the first song that you play?
I don't really listen to a lot of radio in the car.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's become a thing because back when we were busier, you know, before COVID, and we were doing our jobs as musicians and whatever. Alam mo naman yung trabaho natin, ingay, di ba?
Oh, true.
Like when you sing for a band, you're subject to thousands of amperes and watts of loudness on stage, that the last thing I'd want to do is listen to anything in the car other than the hum of the air conditioning, you know.
So you go for the style.
Yeah, but yeah, if I were to go on a road trip, yeah, anything by the Foo Fighters, you know, AC/DC or the Cult, yeah.
Awesome, that's cool. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go into our rundown now. And ask you a series of questions. It's just 10 questions, and just answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. All right. So, question number one: What is your favorite word?
I just said it earlier. Car.
Car.
Yeah.
Car is your favorite word. What is your least favorite word?
I just said it also earlier. Bored.
That's true. Okay. What turns you on?
A nicely set up aquarium.
Ah, interesting. Mm. So you like fish? You like fish?
I like fish. I like the janitor fish. I think it's a marvel of nature. It's nature's vacuum cleaner, you know. And and you got that little Ferris wheel inside. It's gets me all hot, man, and bothered. Yeah.
Okay, what turns you off?
Onion breath. Specifically onion breath. Garlic breath I can take, but onion breath.
Okay, what sound or noise do you love?
Sound or noise? A thick, distorted Les Paul rhythm guitar tone.
Ooh, wow. That's very specific. A Les Paul. Okay, what sound or... Or what sound or noise do you hate?
I hate fork scraping on a plate.
Okay, what's your favorite curse word?
Shit.
Nice. And if you could perform with any artist, living or dead, who would it be?
Bono.
Collaboration. Bono. Oh, I can imagine a duet with you and Bono.
No? But yeah, Bono. Yeah.
Hey, you never know, man. Dream big. They're all stuck at home as well. All it takes is an email.
Base Bono, di rin makalabas ng bahay, di ba? So,
collaboration yan. Okay, what? So, if you were to go to heaven, what would you want God to say to you?
You screwed up, son.
Why?
No one's perfect but me, so All right, get in.
That's a nice one. That's a nice one. And okay, so last question. If your face was on a t-shirt, what would it say?
WTF.
I would want that t-shirt of Jet Pangan saying WTF. All right, so one for the road. One for the road, all right?
Okay.
For all our listeners out there who's going to be watching, who's watching this live now and who's going to be watching the repeats and listening to the podcast. All right, for anyone starting out in music today, what words of advice would you give them?
First and foremost, enjoy it. Especially in these times, with the uncertainty, with the new normal creeping up on us. Make sure you do it because you enjoy it. That should be the only expectation, not because you're going to be famous or you're going to make a lot of money or meet a lot of girls. You know, enjoy it, because if things work out, fantastic, diba? Great. Then you're on your way to the big time. But if you don't, at least nag-enjoy ka. And no one can take that away from you.
Words of wisdom right there from Jet Pangan. All right, on to our last call. So what's next for you, Jet? You've got a podcast as well. Actually, when I started listening to your podcast, I'm like, uy, it would be so nice to guest on Jet's podcast. Hint, hint. But naunahan kita.
Naunahan kita. Naunahan mo ko, but yeah.
So what's next?
You're going to guest on mine, man.
I'd be happy to, man. Anytime. What's next for you, Jet?
Use the bathroom, so I really gotta pee. but aside from that, the Dawn might write a new song. Yeah. Mm. In fact, we have some little germs here and there in the works to stitch together a new song. Only because, you know, we it's our therapy as a band, you know. Mm. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And yeah, I just continue on with my YouTube channel or the podcast or yeah. Live each day as it comes. Ganun na lang ngayon eh, di ba? Just
live each day to the fullest and as much as you can, enjoy yourself.
And say a prayer to those who are more affected than we are.
Yes. Yeah, because we're still so lucky. We're
very lucky, man. I mean, you know, those COVID numbers are not just numbers. Those are numbers of people who are getting sick or losing lives, their lives. So, you know, to be here and right now talking to you in good nick, right? Mm-hmm. That's a blessing in itself, yeah.
Well, it's been a major blessing talking to you, Jet. Thank you so much for saying yes. And thank you for the words of wisdom. Thank you for the cuento. And I'll be chatting with you soon. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Jet Pangan. Thank you, Jet.
Thanks, everyone. Stay safe.
Right. Be cool. Wow, man. So that was a fantastic conversation. Learning how someone like Jet Pangan can juggle both lives. Because, I mean, he's somebody I've patterned myself after in terms of being able to do musical theater and to do gigs. And I think that's a fantastic piece of advice that he gave us. So you got to enjoy it. You got to enjoy yourselves. You got to love it, because life is too short to do anything else but anything but something you love. And I think that's so important. So we're going to be wrapping it up tonight. Thank you so much, Jet Pangan. That was a fantastic conversation. And I want to announce the winner of the Offshore CD. We're not giving away the Offshore compilation CD today. We're giving away the Cheats album called Before the Babies, and our winner is Mags Buizon, for the question on how do you make catchy lyrics without making it too cheesy, because pati si Jet natameme sa question mo. It's a great question, guys. And of course, I'd like to also remind everybody, we've got a Offshore has a new album dropping from June Lupito on October 23. There's an exclusive listening party tomorrow, and unfortunately, the slots are all filled up. So, make sure to, pre-save June Lupito's new album. It's called Bodhi 3 NMRK. It's out on October 23 on all the streaming platforms. The exclusive listening party is going to be getting a sneak peek tomorrow at all the songs. You're gonna get some lucky winner is gonna be getting a chance to win a brand new guitar signed by Jun Lupito himself. I'd like to thank also liquor.ph for our booze tonight. Thank you so much for the Evan Williams White Bottled in Bond Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's fueling. It's 100 proof, guys. So it's pretty strong. So I've been trying to pace myself. And don't forget, you get a 10% discount if you order an Evan Williams bottle. If you use our promo code at liquor.ph, the promo code is on the rocks. And you can enter that upon your checkout when you order it. The details are on the description of this video. So, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic week ahead of us as the economy slowly opens up. As we are getting more used to living under this pandemic, don't forget, you gotta do what you love to do. You've gotta be and try to stay as passionate as you can, because that's the reason we have for living. And really, if you find yourself, at a crossroads, just keep on rocking and keep on rolling. And if all else fails, just let the music keep you going. Because if life's gotten you shaken or stirred or a little mixed up or on the rocks, what matters most is that you take your shot. So cheers, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Love you guys.